Thank you very much, ladies, and I trust that that will be the prayer of all of us, that there'll be nothing that will steal our joy, indeed. Because regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what problems we face, God is still aware and He's still on the throne and He's greater than any of our problems and any of our fears. So I trust today that we'll believe in Him. If you have your Bible, please turn to the scripture found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus Himself speaking here, and of course this is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how shall it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Then he goes on to say in the next verse, "You are also the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today again for the privilege that's ours of being here with this Thy people to worship and to serve You. Pray, God, that You would bless us. Thank You for the Sunday school hour and the lessons that were taught there. And we thank You, God, for Sunday school teachers. These people are not paid, God. They just have a servant's heart. They love You. They love people. And Lord, all of us have benefited, and I know that I have down through the years through the ministry of Sunday school teachers, and we thank You for them. Thank You for our worship team and the talents they have, God, and how they have blessed our hearts. We just pray, God, that we would ever sing in our hearts about You and keep that testimony alive that You love us regardless of what we're going through. Pray that You would bless me as I shall speak today, bless the people as they shall hear. We just pray, God, that our lives would be a positive influence to the world around us. We know that our world is dark. It needs the light of the Lord's love and the Lord's power. And we just pray that we would be a light to the world around us. May our good works and deeds glorify You in all that we do, for we ask in the name of Christ and for His sake. Amen. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus gives us what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know how long that sermon was time-wise, but I know that it covers three chapters. It's 111 verses. And I know that He says some very important things for us as Christians, the kind of life that we're supposed to live. Now, He starts out with what's called the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven." And He goes on to say the other things that will bring us a life of happiness, a life of joy, a life of fulfillment, if we will only do those things that He tells us to do. Now, the next thing, though, that He says is this. It's our scripture for today, and He tells us that we are to be an influence in our world. And it's very crucial, it's very important that we be that influence, because the world, by and large, is not going to read a Bible. The world, by and large, is not going to come to church in many cases. But they are going to observe our lives. Those that call ourselves Christians, those that are church members, we are to be the difference makers in our world today, and I trust that we are indeed. Now, in a Peanuts cartoon, and by the way, that shows you the depth and the level that of study that I did for this in preparation for this sermon. But in all seriousness, in the Peanuts cartoon strip at Charles Schulz, it has many good philosophies of life. I know it's a cartoon, but it says many important things down through the life that's down through the history of its cartoons when it was in the papers. But anyway, one that I read or one that I came across recently was like this. Charlie Brown and his friend Peppermint Patty were walking home after school. It was the first day of school. And Peppermint Patty says to Charlie Brown, she said, "Well, Charlie Brown," she said, "today was the first day of school, and I already have gotten into a lot of trouble so much that I was sent to the principal's office, and it's all your fault." And he said, "My fault?" He said, "How in the world could it be my fault? I was not in your class. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't tell you to say anything." He said, "How in the world could it be my fault?" She said, "I know you weren't there, but it was still your fault because you are my friend and you should have been a better influence upon my life." Well, maybe that goes to the extreme, but, you know, God does expect us to be an influence for Him indeed. And that's what Jesus is saying right here indeed. He's saying that you're to be an influence to those around you, not necessarily by the things that you say, but by the things that you do. Just let your light shine before men, that they would see the fact that you know Christ as personal Savior. Now, Jesus uses two symbols that we're both familiar with to tell us the sort of people that we should be. But perhaps when He uses these symbols, though we're very much acquainted with them, they do not have exactly the same meaning to us that they did in that day when He first spoke them, especially the first one. I'll get into that in just a moment. But first of all, He says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, basically, He's saying you're very valuable. Now, salt to us is not very valuable, is it? You know, it's cheap, it's abundant, it's easy to come across. When you're thinking about the valuables of your house, I don't think that salt was one of the first things that you would think about. If somebody breaks into your house, they're not going to go into your kitchen first and foremost and steal your salt there. They're going to go for the electronics, for the jewelry. And if anybody broke into my house, by the way, they would be disappointed anyway because they wouldn't get very much. But anyway, salt is very plentiful. It's cheap. It's readily available to us. And we don't think of it as being very valuable. But that was not the case in the ancient world. And before biblical days, salt was a very valuable commodity indeed. As a matter of fact, they thought of salt the way that we think of silver or gold. Many people were paid, even workers were paid with salt. That's where we get the word salary, where that word comes from. That also is the term, a person is not worth their salt. It means they're not making a very valuable contribution and so forth. Many times, the roads that were constructed, some of the best roads that were constructed in early days were constructed to a place that they were built in order that they might go and extract salt from that place. A tax was placed upon salt. If you got salt, you had to give a little bit of it back to the government. So they treated it very much like we treat money today. And even battles were fought over salt. We kind of take salt for granted, but it's still important in our world today. As I said, not exactly the same value, but it's still very important. Now, the salt that Jesus was talking about and what He was saying to His followers, what He's saying to you and me today, He's saying that we're to be like salt because salt gives flavor to something. It gives it a taste. And, you know, if the doctor has never put me on a salt-free diet, he has other people that I know, but that's disappointing to them because food does not have its same flavor. And the responsibility of cooking has been placed upon me in our home in just recent years. I never did it before. I always enjoyed eating, but I'd stayed out of the kitchen as much as possible. But anyway, now that I'm doing cooking myself, I realize the importance of spices, of things like this. Jules, you know, emphasized to me over the years, I said, "Why in the world do you have to spend all that money on things that, you know, like this?" I said, that's ridiculous. But I realize now just how important that is. But our salt, when Jesus Christ said, "You're the salt," you're to give flavor to this world. the joy that you have, the happiness you have, the peace that you have in your heart, that makes life better. When you influence people that way, and when you influence them by your faith and by your love for the Lord, that makes not only your life better, but it makes their life better indeed. They realize that you have something that they don't have. Second of all, salt is a preservative. Before the days of refrigeration, before the days that you could freeze food for a long period of time, before the days that canning of food was possible, the main source of preservation of food for food was salt. They salted down meat, and it would last for a number of years. I remember in my boyhood days, some people, especially out in rural areas, had what they called smokehouses, and the meat was smoked, and then it was salted, and it was preserved for a long period of time. And, if our world is to be preserved from destruction, if our world is to be saved, so to speak, in that way, it's been saved from letting sin destroy so many lives, we're going to have to act as a preservative. We're going to have to make a difference. We're going to have to stand for the values that will keep our society close to God and close to biblical principles. Thirdly, salt is very important, was certainly very important in former days, and it's still important today, because it has certain medicinal values. It's an antiseptic. It was used to clean wounds. It still has healing factors today. Anytime I get a sore throat, and I've probably said this before, especially during the wintertime, I get a sore throat quite easily. My sister-in-law said to me several years ago, she was a nurse and she worked in the emergency room a lot, and she said a lot of times when people come into the emergency room, they have to pay the emergency room fee, but she says a few times a doctor does nothing more than tell them to go and to gargle with warm, salty water. And she said because it has such healing principles to it. So salt gives flavor. Salt is a preservative. Salt has healing value to it. And as Christians, we're to do the same things. We're to be a positive influence upon our world. We're to touch the world in a great and mighty way. Now, I know that that all the problems that the world faces today, it's got itself in a very bad condition. It is not all the church's fault. But I think that the day in which we live, it should be incumbent upon us. We should realize our responsibility more and more to influence as many people as we possibly can, because there are so many people that are lost. There are so many people that do not know God as personal Savior indeed. Most of us have been very fortunate because of the way that we were raised. I've told you that I was raised in church. I was taken to Sunday school and church when I was just a boy. And you had no choice about it as far as my mother was concerned. You were either sick or very sick, or you were dead, or if you weren't those two things, preferably dead, you went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You just always did that. That's just a part of life. That was an important part of life to her as eating or anything else was. We just always did it. And I appreciate that influence. That's one of the reasons that I'm standing before you today as a Christian, because I know God, is because I was raised up in a godly home with good Christian influence. But, as we look around today, that influence that the church has, the influence that Christians have, is becoming less and less. Unfortunately so. Now, we have been raised in the Bible Belt, most of us have, and the church and Christians have a lot of influence because of the region in which most of us were raised. And I'm not saying there are not Christians in other areas of the United States, but I'll guarantee you this, that the church and Christians have more influence in the Bible Belt than anywhere else in America, most likely so. And as things become progressively worse, the church, it's our responsibility to stand for the things of God that God wants us to stand for indeed. Now, one of these days, and perhaps that day will be soon, we don't know that, because the Bible said no man knows the day or the hour in which Jesus Christ is going to come back. But one of these days, the Jesus is going to come back in the eastern sky, and he is going to rapture the church. He's going to rapture Christian people and take them to heaven with him. And then there won't be any Christians upon this earth. There won't be any real churches here. And the church's influence will be gone. And can you imagine what a dark world that will be? That's why the Bible calls it the tribulation period. And the latter part is called the last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. It's because Christian people will not be around to pray. Christian people will not be around to give their testimonies. Christian people will not be around to let their light of love shine, the Lord's love shine through them. And the world will be a terrible place. But until that day comes, that day will eventually be here. It is up to us to be everything that we can be for God. So Jesus said, I want you to be salt. Because salt preserves, because salt gives flavor, because the salt just adds to life indeed. Fourthly, I think that Jesus was saying this, that it's got kind of like a youth director once was talking to his teen group, and he was going over this verse of scripture that I've read to you today, where Jesus said you're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And he asked his teen group what that meant to them. And they said salt was to give flavor and preserve and to prevent further corruption. But also one young lady said this, who was very observant. She said salt is supposed to make other people thirsty. And you know, that's true. Our life is supposed to be lived in such a way that others would observe it and be desirous for the things that we have. And if we have the joy unspeakable and full of glory, if we have a peace that passeth all understanding, if we can have a faith even during the darkest days of our life, when life comes apart, that we don't fall apart, that we're able to have our faith and our dependence upon God, the world is going to see a difference in us. They're going to see something that they don't have, that they need, and therefore they're going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in some ways. Now, I think the Lord also not only tells us we're to be salt, but he gives us a warning right here. He said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and to be trampled under the foot of man. Now, this is another aspect of the Lord's teaching that we're not fully familiar with because of this. The salt that we have today is pure. It's considered just completely salt, almost 100% salt. But that was not true in the days of the Bible. That was not true in the area of Galilee or Israel or places like this, because most of their salt came from the Dead Sea. And because it came from the Dead Sea, it was mixed with other minerals. And the salt that they got, because it did have that mixture of other minerals in it, it did not last very long. Now, what Jesus was saying right here, if the salt loses its saltiness or it loses its flavor, it is of no value. And what he's giving a warning to us as Christians is this: we must live a life that is separate from the world. We can't let the world's values, we can't let the world's standards, we can't let the world's ways come into our life, because if we become so much like the world, the world is going to see that there's no difference between them and us, and they're not going to be desirous of the things that we have. But if they look at their life, if they look at our life, and they see a true difference, if they see that we live a life of purity, if they see that we live a life of commitment to the Lord, if they see that we live a life of holiness, they're going to be drawn to it, and we're going to be the kind of witness that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be indeed. Now, second of all, Jesus uses another symbol besides salt to tell us about our influence. He uses the word light. He said, you're the light of the world. And he said, people do not light a lamp to put it upon under a basket or a bowl, but he said, on the lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So he said, you can have a profound influence upon this world if you will be salt and you will be like light, you'll let the light of Christ, you'll let the light of God shine through your life, that you'll make a difference to the world. And, you know, the people that Jesus was speaking to, they were not politically influential. They had no political power. They had no monetary power. They were not influential because they were rich. But they lived the kind of life that God wanted them to. And the Bible says that they made so much of a difference. They had so much influence that the term the Bible uses is this, that they turned the world upside down for Christ. Now you think about that. They turned the world upside down for Christ. And thousands of people came to Christ on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people a few days later came to Christ. Multitudes came to Christ. People who had never heard the name of Christ turned to the Lord. They turned their lives over to Him. Though it meant persecution, though it meant losing their lives in some cases, they were still so committed because they were influenced by other Christians. What kind of influence are we today? Are we a positive influence? Are we salt of the earth? Are we the light of the world? We are to be indeed. It says, you're to be light. Light is to be seen. That's the first important thing. He says, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but they put it on a lampstand so that everybody can see it. And you know, that's what the world needs to see today. They're not interested in our words, but they're still looking at us. And they want to see a difference. They want to see people that are committed to the Lord. They want to see people that love other people. They want to see people that are committed to the church. They want to see people that really live the kind of life that they profess to live. And if you let your light shine before the others in that way, you'll make a difference indeed. Light also is important because it guides. Light can guide to right things in the right places, and light can also be given to avoid dangerous places. For instance, anytime that an airplane comes in to land at a landing on a runway, even in daytime they're lit up, but at night they're especially lit up. And on each side and even right down the middle, when an airplane lands, he looks for that light in order that it might guide him to the right place indeed. And the Lord expects us to live a kind of life that when people look at us, they would be guided in the real truth that He is the Savior, that He is the Lord, that He can make a difference in their life, that He can help them in every way. That's the kind of life that we're supposed to live. Our light also should be lived in such a, our life should be lived in such a way that we would help people avoid wrong choices and wrong decisions. What is a lighthouse? What's the main function of a lighthouse? What was it in olden days before radar and sonar and things like this, when ships were not equipped with these things? It was to serve as a warning that you cannot sail in certain areas because there's underwater dangers, there's rocks there, there's other hazards there that you better avoid. And we're to live a life that stands against the evils of the world, that says if you go this way, if you make these decisions, your life is going to end up in shipwreck or in total chaos indeed. One person has put it like this. He said, you know, people are looking to Christians for the solutions of the problems that they have. Now, they may not always say this to you, but especially if they get into trouble, if life begins to go wrong for them, if they get sick all of a sudden, if they lose their job, if their marriage goes bad, if other things happen in their life, they begin to look around and say, well, what can I do? Where can I go for help? Where can I go for strength? Where can I go to solve some of my problems? And if we're salt, if we're light, if we live a different kind of life than the world lives, the world is going to look to us and say, here's a person that has it together. Here's a person that truly they depend upon the Lord, and the Lord helps them. The Lord has helped them in these ways, and because of this, they walk a steady life. They've raised their children the way they should, and their children have gone up to show that to call them blessed. God is going to bless us if we'll do that indeed. Our light can make a difference between life and death, salvation and destruction. Let's remember that. It's kind of like a story that of a true incident that happened during World War II, near the end of World War II. There was a battle, an important battle taking place that was called the Battle of the Philippine Sea. And the admiral who was over the naval forces, the naval air forces in that area, the Japanese, he had encountered the Japanese fleet, and he had put some destruction upon them. He had destroyed some of their ships and so forth, and they had to turn around, and the Japanese fleet was trying to get away because they were trying to find a place of safety. And they knew that they were defeated, but they wanted to save as many ships as possible, so they just turned around and sailed back for Japan. Well, this admiral had to make a choice. It was late in the afternoon, and he sent his planes, all of his planes off of his carriers, to find the Japanese fleet to inflict even more damage than he'd already done. He didn't want the enemy fleet to get away. These airplanes took off. They bombed the fleet. They destroyed several Japanese ships and damaged others. But once the mission was over, because they had flown so long, they had to come back to the carrier, of course, but now it was dark. And by the way, I've been on the ocean at night, and believe me, it is dark. It is very dark. Extremely so. Pitch black. And here came the airplanes. They were coming back. They were running very low on fuel, had a limited time. And they could not find their carriers because they were in a complete blackout. Well, this admiral made an extremely important decision. Although his superiors in Washington had told him that there was to be a complete blackout at night, he weighed the situation, and he made the decision to turn on all his carrier's lights. And because he did this, all those planes came back and landed on their carrier safely. Their lives were spared. I've said that to say this. The same is true. If we let the Lord's light shine through us, if Jesus, who is in our hearts, if His love shines from our hearts, we're going to make a crucial difference. We're going to make a life and death difference in the lives of some people. It's that important that we be true lights for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what kind of life are we living? What kind of things are we doing? Are we doing those things that would cause us to be the sort of people that God would want us to be? It is crucial indeed. It is extremely important. Now, Jesus says this, I want your light to shine for me. I want you to be the salt of the earth. And when you do, I want you to do this in such a way that you'll bring glory not to yourselves. We're not the important ones. You know, it's not what I can do. It's not what you can do. It's what God can do through our lives if we truly love Him and we're truly committed to Him. Our good works we're supposed to do. Let our light shine in such a way through our good works. And works will not save you, by the way, but once you are saved, once you know Christ as personal Savior, we are saved to do good works. We're to have a servant's heart. And as I said in my prayer, in my introduction of today, I thank God for Sunday school teachers down through the years that have had an influence on my life. When I was taken to church as a small child, we read the Bible in our house. The Bible was read every night, all those things. But I learned some very valuable lessons from Sunday school teachers that influenced my life. And I praise God for them because they had a servant's heart. People who serve in any capacity, people who serve communion, people who just come to church and pray, you're doing those things that God wants you to do. You're glorifying Him through good works, and God will use that in a great and mighty way indeed. It's kind of like this. There was a young man once who went on a mission trip, and he went to northern Alaska. Matter of fact, it was an area there that was very remote, and he had a part in building one of the first high schools north of the Arctic Circle, first high school north of the Arctic Circle. And he said as he did this, it was during the summertime or in the springtime, he said it was still pretty cold, it was still pretty bad weather, and it was just very hard work, and he kind of started to become bitter a little bit, and he said, "What in the world am I doing here?" He said one day he was out and he was having to dig a trench, and it was not by machine, it was by hand. But he said that he was digging this trench, it was in this type of soil that was very hard still. It was not completely frozen, but it was still a hard tundra. And he said as he was digging, he started to be a little bit resentful. But he said as he was digging, he said an Eskimo, one of the local citizens, came up and watched him dig a little bit. And then he said to him, he said, "I see that you're digging a ditch for the glory of God." And he said that completely transformed his mindset. He said, "You know, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this good work for the glory of God." And he said, all of a sudden, I got a new energy. I got a new enthusiasm. He said, where I had a bad attitude, it turned into a good attitude because I was doing something to glorify Jesus Christ. Do good works, not for yourself, but for Christ. Love people for Christ. Serve people for Christ. Go on a mission trip for Christ. Teach a Sunday school class for Christ. Do something for Him. He'll get the glory, and you'll eventually get a reward. I ask you today, how's your influence? Are you influencing others for God? Are you the salt of the earth? Do you add flavor? Do you preserve? Are you like medicine that doeth the heart, cheerful heart good? Or are you a light to a lost and dying world? Think about your influence. People need our influence. Your family needs your influence. As I said, thank God that I was raised in a Christian family that influence. The people that you influence the most are those who are closest to you. Not only your family, but your friends, your co-workers, the members of your community. You know, I had the privilege the other day, Jill and I went to the Mesquite Prayer Breakfast. It was National Day of Prayer. And they had city officials there, the chief of police, the mayor, other business leaders, church leaders, and so forth there. And we all had a great time of prayer for Mesquite and for, you know, this area, but for the national things. We can let our light shine by the good things that we do, by our prayer life, by our works. Are you influencing people for God? I trust you are today. Let us pray. Our Father, we love you and we thank you for all blessings. Know that you're a great and wonderful God. It's a privilege to be one of your children. May we be aware afresh and anew of our influence. May we influence others for you. May we be the salt of the earth. May we be the light of the world. May our good deeds glorify you. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.